A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
There's a scene in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy that I cannot get out of my head. Connie Sachs, the circus's Soviet expert, is watching grainy surveillance footage of a diplomatic ceremony. She's watched it dozens of times. A colleague tells her to drop it. She's becoming obsessed, but she keeps looking. And then she sees it. Not something anyone said. Not a document. A shift in posture between two men in the frame. One defers to the other in a way that doesn't match his official rank. From that single frame, she infers the presence of a Soviet mole. That's the whole job, right there.
That scene is basically the entire analytical discipline compressed into about 90 seconds of film, and here's what makes it relevant beyond the movie. If you go to MI5's careers page right now, they're explicitly looking for what they call curious minds, who can piece together fragments of information to build a picture of threats. The CIA's Directorate of Analysis hires for all source analysis. The Connie Sachs cognitive profile is not a spy novel fantasy. It's a publicly advertised job requirement.
Which brings us to Daniel's prompt. He sent us something that's clearly been simmering for a while. He's worked in cybersecurity, touched projects that may have been sold to law enforcement and the intelligence community, but never pursued intelligence work directly. And yet that scene, Connie Sachs staring at footage until the anomaly reveals itself, it landed for him. He recognized his own cognitive style in it, the ability to hold vast amounts of detail and notice when one thing shifts. So his question is practical. What is Connie Sachs's actual job title in a modern agency? Is she an intelligence analyst, a subject matter expert, a target analyst, something more specialized? And more broadly, what career paths exist for someone whose primary strength is sustained pattern recognition rather than field operations?
We should say up front, Daniel's not asking for career counseling in the abstract. He's describing something specific. The experience of watching that scene and thinking, that's how my brain works. The repeated review of ordinary material until one incongruity finally surfaces. That's not something everyone finds compelling. For a lot of people, it sounds like torture. For others, it's the most satisfying puzzle there is.
The episode is really about mapping that cognitive style to the actual org charts of MI5, MI6, and the CIA. What do these agencies call the person who spends years building a mental model of a target so rich that a single shifted glance means something? And what would it actually take for someone who sees themselves in Connie Sachs to walk through the front door and do that work?
We should frame this properly before we dive into the job titles. The Connie Sachs character was not pulled from thin air. Le Carré based her on real MI5 Russia watchers, most notably a woman named Daphne Park. Park spent decades building expertise on Soviet targets. She wasn't a field operative in the James Bond sense. She was someone who knew the Soviet apparatus so thoroughly that deviations from expected behavior lit up like signal flares. That's the archetype.
Which immediately raises the question. In 1974, when the novel came out, that role was almost an artisan craft. One person, one target set, decades of accumulated context. Does that role still exist in the same form? Or has the modern intelligence bureaucracy sliced it into something else?
That's what we're going to trace. First, the real-life inspirations for Connie Sachs and how they map to modern job titles. Then the actual career structures, including the tension between deep-dive analysis and AI-driven triage. And finally, for listeners like Daniel who recognize this cognitive style in themselves, concrete steps for what you'd actually do about it.
Let's start with the fiction to old chart mapping. What would Connie Sachs's business card actually say if she worked at MI5 or the CIA today?
Before I answer that, I want to sit with what Daniel described for a second, because it's the key to understanding why this question matters beyond the movie trivia. He said the scene felt less like fiction and more like seeing a cognitive style he recognized in himself. That's not a small thing to notice about yourself. Most people watch that scene and think interesting character. A smaller number think, that's how my brain works. And that second group is exactly who the agencies are trying to find.
the repeated review of mundane material until the anomaly surfaces. It's almost the opposite of what we're told intelligence work is supposed to be. Not the adrenaline, not the dead drops, not the brush passes in Vienna. Again and again. And the payoff isn't a gunfight. It's a posture shift.
And Daniel's background actually sharpens the question. He's Irish-born, immigrated to Israel, worked in cybersecurity. He's touched the edges of the intelligence world without ever stepping inside it. So he's not asking as a complete outsider. He's asking as someone who can see the door but isn't sure what's written on it.
Which is why the job title question matters more than it sounds. If you recognize yourself in Connie Sachs and you actually want to find that role in a real agency, you can't exactly type obsessive pattern noticer into a government jobs portal. You need to know what they call it.
The answer is, they call it several different things depending on the agency and the specific function. At MI5, the closest match is intelligence analyst, sometimes with a specialization as a subject matter expert on a particular region or network. At the CIA, it falls under the Directorate of Analysis, where you'd be a political analyst or strategic analyst, potentially on a formal targeting career track, where you're assigned to specific networks or individuals for years at a time. MI6, the Secret Intelligence Service, is less publicly documented on the analytical side, but they have requirements officers and intelligence officers who do this kind of deep dive work.
Connie Sachs could walk into a modern agency and have at least three different plausible job titles. None of them would say Soviet Russia expert, who stares at footage until she cracks the case. But the function exists across all of them.
The unifying thread is tenure. The Connie Sachs archetype isn't about a skill set you bring on day one. It's about what you build over 5, 10, 15 years of sustained focus on a single target set. The real-life inspiration, Daphne Park, spent literal decades on Soviet targets. That's the part that doesn't fit neatly into a LinkedIn profile.
Let's dig into the real-life Connie Sachs's. Daphne Park, you mentioned. What made her capable of that kind of observation? Because it's not photographic memory. It's something more specific.
It's contextual depth so complete that anomalies become visible. Park joined MI6 in the late 1940s and spent her career focused on Soviet operations, particularly in Africa and later as controller of the Western Hemisphere. Her biographers describe her as someone who could hold an entire network's relationships in her head. When one person's behavior shifted, she didn't need a report to flag it. She felt it. That's not mysticism. That's what happens when you've spent 20 years building a mental model of how a system behaves.
Which is exactly what Connie does with the footage. She's not looking for the anomaly. She's looking at the normal until the anomaly announces itself.
Here's where the modern job titles get interesting. MI5's own careers page, the Analyzing Intelligence section, describes the work as piecing together fragments of information to build a picture of threats. They explicitly say analysts may spend weeks or months on a single puzzle. It's telling you this is not rapid-fire triage. This is sustained attention on one thing.
Weeks or months isn't decades. That's the gap I'm wondering about. Daphne Park spent a career on Soviet targets. Is the modern analyst rotating through so many puzzles that they never build that depth?
It depends on the track. The CIA's Directorate of Analysis is organized by regional and topic offices. The Office of Russian and European Analysis exists as a distinct entity. If you're hired into that office, you're not bouncing between counterterrorism and Latin American narcotics. You're building Russian expertise. And the CIA offers a formal targeting career track where analysts are assigned to specific networks or individuals for years at a time. That's the closest real-world analog to what Connie Sachs does. You're not just a Russia analyst. You're the analyst for this particular network, this particular set of individuals.
Target analyst or targeting officer would be the label in that structure.
At the CIA, yes. At MI5, the closest equivalent is intelligence analyst with a subject matter expert designation. The SME label matters because it signals that your value isn't general analytical competence. It's your specific, non-transferable knowledge of a particular threat actor or region. You're the person they call when something about that target doesn't quite fit the pattern.
There's a real-life case that illustrates this perfectly. A CIA analyst noticed a subtle change in a Soviet diplomat's daily commute route. Same car, same departure time, same destination, but one turn was different. That deviation turned out to signal a planned defection. Nobody told the analyst to look for route changes. She noticed because she'd studied the baseline so thoroughly that the variation was obvious.
That's the Connie Sachs method in its purest form, and it points to a subspecialty that some agencies call behavioral analysis or target pattern analysis. It's not about what the target says or writes. It's about what they do, repeatedly, and what changes. MI6 is less publicly documented on this, but they have requirements. Officers who define what intelligence is needed, and intelligence officers who build the deep contextual picture. The SME role exists there too. It's just described in more opaque language.
If Daniel or someone like him wanted to find this exact role, the search terms would be intelligence analyst, target analyst, political analyst with a regional specialization, or subject matter expert on a specific threat network. Four different labels, same underlying function.
The function has a specific shape that's worth naming. It's not just analysis, it's pattern recognition over time. The overtime part is what separates it from the kind of analysis where you're handed a dataset and asked to find insights by Tuesday. Connie Sachs wasn't valuable because she was smart. She was valuable because she'd been watching for 15 years.
Here's the thing that's been nagging at me. The agencies are now pouring billions into AI triage systems. Machine learning that scans footage, flags anomalies, does in milliseconds what Connie Sachs did in hours. So if the algorithm can spot the posture shift, what's left for the human analyst?
That's the tension that defines the modern version of this career. And it's not as simple as AI replaces the analyst. What's actually happening is the analyst's job is shifting from finding the needle to knowing which haystack matters. The algorithm can flag 10,000 anomalies a day. Most of them are noise. The Connie Sachs skill, the thing the machine doesn't have, is the contextual judgment to know which anomaly means something and which one is just a diplomat who slept badly.
The human isn't being pushed out. They're being pushed upstream. Less scanning, more interpreting.
And that changes what the career path looks like. You don't walk into an agency and immediately get assigned to one target for 15 years. The CIA's career analyst program rotates you through different offices before specialization. MI5's Intelligence Officer Development Program follows a similar model. The deep SME track, the Connie Sachs role, is something you earn by demonstrating that your contextual judgment is worth the investment. It typically takes 5 to 10 years to build that status.
Which means the patience factor isn't just about watching footage. It's about your entire career arc. You spend the first half decade proving you can do the general work before anyone trusts you with the deep dive.
That's where the neurodivergent angle Daniel hinted at becomes genuinely relevant. The cognitive style he described, sustained pattern recognition, almost obsessive attention to subtle details, the ability to hold vast mental models, that's not just a personality quirk. It aligns with profiles that Five Eyes agencies are now actively recruiting for. In the last year, MI5, GCHQ, and the CIA have all launched neurodiversity recruitment initiatives that explicitly name pattern recognition and sustained attention as valued traits.
That's a concrete policy shift, not just rhetoric. The old stereotype was the Oxbridge generalist, the person who's good at everything but not necessarily obsessed with anything. The new recruitment language is looking for something closer to what Daniel described.
MI5's careers page now emphasizes curiosity and different perspectives. GCHQ has been particularly public about this. They've said explicitly that neurodivergent candidates often outperform on pattern recognition tasks that are central to signals analysis. The CIA has similar initiatives. This isn't a niche accommodation program. It's a recognition that the cognitive style Connie Sachs represents is operationally valuable.
The person who watches that scene and thinks, "That's my brain," is not just romantically identifying with a character. They're recognizing a cognitive profile that real agencies are trying to find.
Here's the reality check on the day-to-day. The Connie Sachs scene is 90 seconds of cinema. The actual work is hours of reading reports, building link charts, watching footage that doesn't contain any anomalies, writing assessments that say no change observed. The aha moment is rare. Most analysis is incremental. You're adding one brick to a wall that took years to build and might never be finished.
The glamour to drudgery ratio is not what the movies suggest.
Not even close. But agencies do structure the work to create space for the deep dive. They have formal deep dive reviews, target reassessments, periods where an analyst is explicitly told to step back from daily reporting and spend weeks re-examining everything they know about a target. That's the institutional version of Connie watching the footage again. The agency is saying, we know the incremental work matters, but we also need you to zoom out and look for what you've been missing.
Which is a fascinating structural choice. They're building the obsession into the workflow. Not because they expect every deep dive to crack a mole, but because they know that without that space, the contextual knowledge never crystallizes into the kind of insight Connie had.
That connects back to the neurodiversity initiatives. The agencies are realizing that the people who thrive in that deep dive structure, who enjoy spending weeks on a single puzzle, are not the same people who thrive in rapid rotation through different assignments. You need both. But historically, the recruitment pipeline favored the generalist. The shift we're seeing now is an acknowledgement that the specialist, the obsessive, the pattern noticer, was being filtered out.
For someone like Daniel, the trade-off is clear. You're signing up for a career where the first several years are rotational, the day-to-day is mostly unglamorous, and the Connie Sachs moment might come once a decade if you're lucky. But you're also signing up for an institution that increasingly understands what your brain does and is building structures to use it.
The targeting career track at the CIA is probably the closest institutional acknowledgement that sustained focus on a single network or individual is a distinct skill set worth formalizing. You're not just an analyst who happens to know a lot about Russia. You're a targeting officer whose job is to know everything about this specific set of people and to notice when something changes. That's the job title Connie Sachs would have today. If you're listening and thinking that sounds like me, here's what you can actually do about it. The path isn't become a spy, it's become a specialist. And the agencies that value this most have public application processes. MI5's Analyzing Intelligence page is essentially a job description for the Connie Sachs cognitive profile. The CIA's Directorate of Analysis, with its regional offices like the Office of Russian and European Analysis, hires for exactly this. GCHQ runs signals analysis roles where pattern recognition over time is the entire discipline.
The second piece is start building the contextual knowledge now. The Connie Sachs skill isn't something you're born with. It's accumulated through years of reading, watching, and thinking about a specific target set. If Russian political dynamics interest you, start there. Chinese cyber infrastructure, Iranian nuclear program, pick one and go deep. The agencies will test for analytical thinking in the application process. But the depth of context is something you build on your own before you ever walk through the door.
The CIA's career analyst program rotates you through different offices before specialization. It typically takes 5 to 10 years to build deep SME status. That's not a bug. That's the timeline for developing the kind of contextual knowledge where a shifted posture actually means something to you. You can't shortcut it with a boot camp.
The practical steps are straightforward. Go to the MI5 careers page, look at the Analyzing Intelligence section, the CIA careers portal, search for intelligence analyst, target analyst, political analyst. The application process typically includes cognitive testing for pattern recognition and written analytical assessments, where you're given raw information and asked to draw conclusions. Both agencies now explicitly seek curious minds and different perspectives. That language is a signal. They're not looking for the old stereotype anymore. They're looking for the person who watched that scene and felt seen.
That brings us to the open question that's going to define this career in the next decade. As AI gets better at pattern recognition, at flagging the anomalies in milliseconds, what's left for the human? I think the answer is contextual judgment. The machine can say something changed. It can't say this change matters because of something I know about this diplomat's marriage, his financial pressures, and a conversation he had 3 years ago that never made it into any report. That layered understanding, that's not something you train a model on. It's something you live.
The Connie Sachs of 2030 might be less about spotting the anomaly and more about interpreting it. The algorithm does the scanning. The analyst does the meaning-making. But you can only do that meaning-making if you've spent years building the context. The machine gets faster. The human has to get deeper.
Here's what I think Daniel's prompt is really pointing toward. The intelligence community is publicly embracing cognitive diversity in a way it never has before. The neurodiversity recruitment initiatives at MI5, GCHQ, the CIA, these aren't window dressing. They're operational necessity. The threads are too complex, the data volumes too vast, to keep hiring only the old archetype. They need people whose brains work differently. People who watched that Connie Sack scene and thought, that's not obsessive, that's thorough.
The message for anyone who felt seen by that scene is straightforward. The skill is real. It's valued. It's actively sought. The path to using it is less cinematic than the movies suggest. Mostly spreadsheets and link charts, and reports that say nothing changed. But the institutions exist, the job titles exist, and the application forms are public. The real Connie Sacks isn't a character. She's a career path with a PDF job description.
Now Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late 1600s, naturalists in Equatorial Guinea documented a species of epiphytic orchid whose translucent petals function as natural Fresnel lenses, focusing diffuse forest light onto their own chlorophyll with enough precision to photosynthesize in near total shade.
A plant that invented optics before we did.
This has been My Weird Probs. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. For Korn, I'm Herman Poppleberry, and we'll be back next week with whatever Daniel sends us.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.